So I want just to go right to the word of God, and we're grateful for those who brought their Bibles, because the Church of Christ is a Bible-believing church, and we believe in speaking where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible is silent. Come with me to the book of Ephesians, the chapter is 2. Appreciate everything that has transpired thus far, the scripture reading, the songs, and the kind introduction by Brother Mitchell. The Apostle Paul writes to the saints at Ephesus in the book of Ephesians, the chapter is 2, and verse number 1. Paul says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Verse number 3, "among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of the flesh, desiring the lust," he says, "in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." I want us to look at this, and as we study together this morning, I want us to look at what the Apostle Paul, as he's writing back to the Church of Christ there at Ephesus, and as Paul is writing back to them, the church at Ephesus was a congregation that had both Jews and Gentiles, and so Paul writes to them, and Paul says to them in verse number 1, "And you hath he quickened." The word quickened, it means to make alive. That word quickened comes from a Greek word zoe, which means life. And so Paul is saying that, "And you hath God made alive." And I want to just talk about that in regards to what is man's greatest need. What is man's greatest need? Man's greatest need is not a new car. Man's greatest need is not a house. Man's greatest need is not a woman. Man's greatest need, Paul says to the saints at Ephesus, that when you all were living your life, Paul said God had to quicken you or to make you alive. And I want us to understand this about man. When we talk about man, and I appreciate this board too, Brother Mitchell. I'll be writing all week. I'm one of those kind of preachers. I like you to see what I'm saying. When you look at man, when we look at man, when I look at myself, when I look at you, you and I are made of three parts. The Bible says in the book of 1 Thessalonians, hopefully I got a reader, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23, the Bible tells us that you and I are trichotomies, which means you and I are three parts. Now, we are three parts. Listen to the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23. Listen to the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23.
"And the very God of peace."
"And the very God of peace.
Sanctify you wholly."
"Sanctify you wholly."
"And I pray God."
"And I pray God."
"Your whole spirit."
Watch this now. "Your whole spirit."
"And the soul."
"And soul."
"And body."
"And body."
"Be preserved blameless."
All right. "Be reserved blameless."
"Unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ."
Now Paul said that man is three parts. You and I are three parts. We are made of spirit, soul, and body. And you got to understand this. The least important part of me is the me you can see. The least important part of you is the you that I can see. We are made, you and I are made of three parts. Now you got to understand this. Now we are three parts. We have a body. You and I have a body. We are souls. We have a spirit. We live in a body. Now there's going to come a day when our time on earth is over. There's going to come a day when death will come to each and every one of us. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 9 in verse number 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, the Bible says, and then the judgment. And so all of us are going to die. Now, that word death, it comes from a Greek word, just to help you to understand what I'm saying. It comes from a Greek word, thanatos. And what thanatos means is separation. Whenever a person dies, the only thing that happens, there is a separation from the spirit, from the soul, from the body. There is a separation at that time. Get from me, brothers, if you don't mind, the book of Ecclesiastes. The chapter is 12, and we'll look at verse number 7. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the chapter is 12, and we'll look at verse number 7. And watch what the Bible says.
Then shall the dust return to the earth.
Now the Bible says, and then shall the dust. Well, what part of us is made of dust? That's those old bodies. You and I are nothing but dust creatures. We are dust creatures. The Bible said when death comes, the Bible said, then shall the dust is going to return to the earth. Go to read, young man.
As it was.
As it was.
And the spirit shall return unto God who
now,
gave it.
Now, the body is going back to the dust of the ground. The spirit is going back to God who gave it. Then what's left? Then what's left is the real us. That decision-making part of us. And you got to understand, you and I are going to spend eternity somewhere. That's why the Bible says in Matthew 10, in verse number 28, Jesus said, fear not him that's able to destroy the body, but rather fear him that's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. All of us have a soul. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse number 26, Jesus said, and what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And so therefore, you and I, we have a soul. There is a part of us that is going to live on forever. There is a part of us that's going to live on. And so therefore, whenever we hear about someone dying, what has happened is they were just went through the process of a separation. There was a separation from the body, from the soul, from the spirit. Spirit goes back to God, body goes to the dust of the ground, and the real you, the decision-making part of us, is going to have to give an account to God one day. Because, my friend, there's going to be a judgment. Look at your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the verse is number 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, watch what the Bible says.
For we must all appear before
the Bible said, for we must all appear
before the judgment seat of Christ.
Before the judgment seat of Christ.
That everyone may receive the things done in his body.
May receive the things done in his body.
According to that he hath done.
According to that he hath done.
Whether it be good.
Whether it's good.
Or bad.
Or whether it be bad. The Bible said, listen, we all must appear. We all must appear. Look at Romans 14 and verse number 10. In Romans chapter 14 and verse number 10, watch what the Bible said, Romans 14.
But why dost thou judge thy brother?
Why do you judge your brother?
Or why dost
set at naught
thy brother?
Thy brother.
For we shall all stand.
The Bible said we shall all stand.
Before the judgment seat of Christ.
We got to all stand. Look at verse number 12. Drop down to Romans 14, 12. And the Bible says.
So then. Every one of us shall give account of himself.
We got to give an account of ourselves.
To God.
So the Bible tells us, yes, there's going to be a judgment. And we have to understand this. Because you and I are body, soul, and spirit. You got to understand, when it talks about death, let me go back to death. When we deal with death, that word thanatos. There are three types of deaths. We got to be mindful of this. Three types of deaths. You have what we call physical death. Physical death is when the body dies, and therefore the soul and the spirit therefore become separated from it. Physical death. Then there is spiritual death. When man, he walks around, but he's cut off from God. Spiritual death. I'm going to come back there. And then if you die in this state, then there is eternal death. Or the Bible calls it the second death. Now, so as Paul, understand that, physical death, spiritual death, eternal death. Now, as Paul was writing, back to our text, as Paul was writing to the saints at Ephesus, Paul said, and you hath he quickened, and you hath he made alive, which means that there was a time they were dead. What do you mean dead? That means they were spiritually cut off from God. And I mentioned that as when a person is in sin, you can walk around every day going about doing your daily business and be dead, because sin is death to the soul. I know that's right. Look at your Bible. Let's go, brothers. The Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 6, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 6.
The Bible says,
the woman that lives in pleasure
is dead.
Is dead
while she liveth.
You see, a person could be walking around and be dead.
That's right.
Why are they dead? Because they are cut off, they are separated from God.
Yes.
They're dead. Yes. Look at the Bible. Sin causes death. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, the chapter is 2 and verse number 13. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 13. Watch what the Bible says.
And you being dead in your sins.
You see, if a person is in their sins, then the Bible said that person is dead. They are separated from God. And the danger is, if Jesus said, if you die in your sins, Jesus said, where I am, you cannot come. And so therefore, a person must understand, before death comes, we got to get rid of our sins. And so as Paul was writing to the saints, Paul says, and you hath he quickened, and you hath he made alive. Paul said, and you hath he made alive, because they were dead. They were separated from God. Well, what is therefore man's greatest need? If you are here today and you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, if you are here today and you have not contacted the blood of Jesus in the waters of baptism, then therefore, my friend, you got to understand, because all have sinned. The Bible said all have sinned. And because of that, we've fallen short of the glory of God. And so what is man, the sinner's greatest need? The sinner's greatest need is he need life. And if you don't know Jesus today, your greatest need, not a car, your greatest need, not a home, your greatest need is life. Because why is that? Because the Bible said, Paul said, you were dead in sin. And the person that's dead, his greatest need, he needs life. The very reason Jesus came was to give man the greatest thing he needed. Come on, let's look at the Bible. Let's go to John, St. John chapter 1. In St. John chapter 1, and verse number 1. We'll start at John 1:1.
In the beginning
was the Word.
And the Word was with
and
God.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was
and
God.
And the Word was God. Come on.
The same was in the beginning
the
with God.
The same was in the beginning with God.
All things were made by him.
All things were made by him.
And without him.
And without him.
Was not anything made.
Was not anything made that was made. Come on and read, sir.
In him was life.
Don't miss this now. In him, the very one God sent. The Bible says in him was life.
And
the very reason Jesus came. He came to bring us the very thing that we needed.
Yeah.
The Bible said in him.
Was life.
Was life.
And the
look
life,
at the Bible. And the life was the light of men. Drop down. Let's look at chapter 6. Let's go to John chapter 6 and verse number 33. In St. John chapter 6 and verse number 33. Watch what the Bible says.
For the bread of God.
Watch this now. The Bible said for the bread of God. And that goes back to our text this week. That man should not live by physical bread alone.
That's right.
But the Bible said God, I don't have time, but the Bible said that God gave them bread. Those who ate that bread, they died. But this bread, Jesus had to help them understand this bread that came down from heaven. If you eat this bread, you will live forever.
Amen.
Physical food, my friend, will not give you eternal life.
Oh, sir.
But the food we need is the food that Jesus provides.
Amen, amen.
And so Jesus says, help them to understand. In John 6, 33, he said, talks about that bread of life. Come on and read, sir.
For the bread of God.
For the bread of God.
Is he which cometh down from heaven.
Watch this now. The bread of God is he that came down from heaven.
And giveth life.
And he gave life.
Unto the
bread
world.
That God sent, it gives life.
Amen.
Well, who is that bread? Look at verse number 35, John 6, 35.
And Jesus said unto them.
Jesus said unto them.
I am the bread of life.
I am the bread of life. And so therefore, if you want life this morning, you want life today, you got to have Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen.
Look at the Bible, John. Hope there's not too much Bible for y'all. I didn't bring nothing but the B-I-B-L-E. That's just the book for me. I'll stand alone with the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. All right, come on, let's look at the word. In John chapter 10 and verse number 10. In John 10 and verse number 10, Jesus talks about the fact that the thief cometh, but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says,
I am come.
But I am come.
That they might have
that
life.
That they might have life.
And that they might have
and
it.
And they may have it.
More abundantly.
More abundantly. I want you to understand the very reason Jesus came is to give man life. Because man was dead in his sins. Look at the Bible, John 14. John chapter 14 and verse number 6. And John 14 and verse number 6. Listen to Jesus.
Jesus saith unto him.
Jesus said unto him.
I am the way.
Watch this now. I am the way.
The truth.
The truth.
And the life.
Well, that's some good teaching through there. I am the way, the truth, the life, the way. Now, that T-H-E, that definite article, whenever the definite article is in front of a singular noun, it means one and only. So Jesus says, I am the way. I'm the only way. I am the truth. I'm the only truth. I am the life. I'm the only life. If you're going to be, my friend, resurrected from your sins, if you're going to be resurrected from the dead spiritually, you need the life that only comes through Jesus Christ. Look at what he says. I am the way. Without Jesus, no going. I'm the truth. Without Jesus, no knowing. And I'm the life. Without Jesus, there is no growing. There's no way we can grow, my friend, without Jesus Christ. And the only thing that grows are those things that have life. And so listen to what Paul tells them. Paul says, and you hath he quickened. He made you alive. Because before you came to Christ, you were dead. You were dead in your trespasses and your sins. But then he goes on in verse number 2 and he tells them, he reminds them just how bad off they were. And he says, wherefore in time past, he says, you walked according to the course
of this world.
Of this world.
According to the
prince. You see, without Jesus, you are going according to the pattern of the world.
And you got to understand that that's a dangerous place to be. Because this old world and the things therein, my friend, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15, the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And so the Bible said there was a time, that's what we did. And we were doing our own thing. We, before Jesus Christ, was going according to the course of this world. Come on and read, sir.
According to the prince,
to
of, the
prince
call,
of the power of the air. Talking about Satan. Come on.
The spirit
that now worketh
in the children
of disobedience. Come on.
Among whom also. We all had our conversation.
Our lifestyle, our conversation.
In time past. In the lusts of the flesh.
Watch this. In the desires of our flesh. Fulfilling
the desires
of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature, based on the things we did, we were children of wrath, even as others. We were children of wrath. Listen, the Bible says, without Jesus Christ being dead in sin, we were children of wrath. You got to understand this. If we don't come to Jesus Christ today, if you die in your sin, you're spiritually dead, but when you die, you're going to be eternally separated from God. The Bible tells us in John 3:36 that we are going to suffer the wrath of God. Whenever we don't obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are under the wrath of God. Look at John 3 and verse number 36. Listen to what Jesus said. John 3 and verse number 36. John 3:36.
He that believeth on the Son.
Bible says, he that believeth on the Son
hath everlasting life.
Hath everlasting life.
And he that believeth not the Son.
He that believeth not the Son
shall not see life.
Shall not see life.
But the wrath of God.
But the wrath of God
abideth on him.
The Bible says you are under the wrath of God. And that's why you need to obey. Because what Paul was helping them to understand, you got to understand what God has done for you. God has been so good to you. He raised you from that dead state. There was a time you were cut off from God. But he said, but God hath quickened you. Look at how good God has been. And you hath he quickened because you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Let's look quickly. I just want you to see those who have not come to Jesus Christ, those who have not been baptized for sin's remission. I want you to see just how bad off a sinner is when he's away from God. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to look quickly at verse number, I say quickly, but that's relative. You know, what's quick for me may not be quick for you. But let's just study this morning. Look at verse number 11. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2. At verse number 11, I want you to see what Paul says in regards to the state of a person, the state of a person who has not come to Jesus Christ for life. You're living your life, but I want you to understand in regards to what state you are in if you don't have life that's in Jesus Christ. Now, Ephesians 2 and verse number 11, listen to the word of God.
Wherefore, remember.
Now, Paul said, listen, he said, wherefore, remember. You know, this is powerful, and members of the church got to be mindful as we strive to help others to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must always be mindful of where we once were. Don't be so hard on people until we run them away. We have to remember that there was a time, we in church now, but there was a time we did not come to church. There was a time when God was not on our mind. But thanks be to God for his goodness and his grace. And so Paul tells them in verse 11, Paul said, wherefore,
remember.
Don't forget where God brought you from. Wherefore, remember. Watch the book.
That ye being in time past.
You've been in time past.
Gentiles in the flesh.
Now, first of all, he says, to those who don't have life, he says, you are in the flesh. Don't miss this. And if you have not been baptized for sin's remission, you are still in the flesh. You're in the flesh. What does that mean? You are guided by your flesh. Because you can't be spiritual without this life. Because this life, this spiritual life, this raising us from that spiritual death my friend, that spiritual life was given us when we received Jesus Christ. We got in the waters of baptism. Then Christ became our Savior. He gave us life. But without that, then we're in the flesh. So what's so bad about being in the flesh? Look at your Bible. Let's go, brothers, to the book of Romans. Let's go to Romans. Keep your finger there now. We're coming back to Colossians 2, verse 11. But let's run quickly to the book of Romans, chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 13. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse number 13. What's so bad, Brother Pounds, about living in the flesh? The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 13, what does the Bible say? For if you live after the flesh,
ye shall die.
That's the problem. If you live after the flesh, the Bible says you shall die. You are dead, separated from God. Go back up to verse number 8. Go to Romans 8 and verse 8. Watch what the Bible says.
So then. They that are in the flesh. Cannot please God.
You see what the Bible says? You cannot.
Please God.
How are you going to make it to heaven and you can't please God? And you can't please him because you're in the flesh.
Yeah.
In the flesh, and the Bible says you're dead.
Yeah.
You are dead and you're in your sins. Go back now. We're Colossians 2:11. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. He said, wherefore remember
that
ye being in time past,
Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision.
Don't miss this now. Now they were called uncircumcision. Now, this was interesting because he mentions the idea that there was a rift between Jew and Gentile. And the Jews would often criticize the Gentiles because of the fact that in the Old Testament, the Jews being, if you will, God's chosen people, and one of the things that God did for them was God allowed the Jews, when a Jewish boy was born, after the eighth day, they were circumcised on that eighth day. Well, let's look at this. I can tell you about it, but it's probably better for you to see it for yourself. Let's go to the book of Genesis. The chapter is 17 and verse number 9. In Genesis chapter 17 and verse number 9, I want you to see this because one of the things that the Jews held over the Gentiles was that they were circumcised. And circumcision was a token that they, in fact, belonged to God. And so there were some Jews that would say to the Gentiles, because you all were not circumcised, therefore you all don't belong to God. Because when you go back and look at when this was instituted, God was speaking to Abraham in Genesis 17 and verse number 9. Watch what the Bible says. And God said to Abraham,
Thou shalt keep my covenant. Thou and thy seed. After thee in their generation.
Come on, sir.
This is my covenant.
Watch it now. God said, this is my covenant.
Which you shall keep. Between me and you.
It's going to be between me and you.
And thy seed after thee.
Come on, sir.
Every man child among you shall be circumcised.
Every male child shall be circumcised. Come on, read, sir.
And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin.
Uh-huh.
And it shall be a token of the covenant.
God says the circumcision would be the token by which the sign that you belong to me. The circumcision was the sign. Well, I come by here to tell you, thank God today that we have a circumcision. And this circumcision allows us to be identified with God. Let's go to the book of Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, we'll start at verse number 10. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 10, watch what the Bible says. Colossians 2 and verse number 10. That's New Testament.
I'm messing with you. And you are complete in him.
Watch this now. And the Bible says, and you are complete in him. You know, I like our young folk to understand that. You don't need someone to make you complete. When you have Jesus Christ, you are complete. The Bible says you are complete in him.
Which
I tell the young ladies back home, you know, sometimes on Friday, you know, sometimes they sit there and talk about the fact nobody stopped by to take them out. Well, I say you got to learn to love yourself. Before anybody can ever love you, you got to first of all learn to love yourself. If nobody take you out on Friday, take yourself out. Get dressed for yourself. Take yourself out. Find you a nice place to go. Sit down by yourself. Enjoy company by yourself. Get yourself up after you paying the bill for yourself. Open the door for yourself. Drive yourself home. Open the door at home for yourself. Go on the inside. Undress yourself. Get in bed by yourself and kiss yourself goodnight. You don't need nobody. Learn to love yourself. You are complete. I got to hurry. You are complete in him. All right, verse 11. Watch the book now. The circumcision. Come on.
In whom also ye are circumcised.
Watch this now. You are circumcised.
With the circumcision made without hands.
Watch this now. Now, they had a circumcision that God gave Abraham to the Jews. But he said, but you are circumcised. There is another circumcision. The Bible said, and this one is not made with human hands. Go to read, sir.
In the putting off.
It's the putting off.
The body of the sins of the flesh.
You see, now this one gets rid of that sin. And if you can get rid of that sin, then you can have life. And the Bible said this circumcision is the putting off of the body of sin. Come on and read, sir.
By the circumcision of
Jesus Christ.
Buried with him.
What is this circumcision? The Bible said buried with him.
In baptism. Wherein also
you are risen
with him.
Through the faith of the working of God.
Who hath raised him from the dead.
You see, the Bible tells us this. The token today is baptism. How? What is that token that God identifies those who belong to him? That token is baptism. And so therefore, what we see, look at what they were. They were in the flesh. They were uncircumcised, which means they did not belong to God. They didn't belong to God. I'm back in our text, Ephesians 2. And begin at verse 11 and 12. That's where we are now. Go ahead and read, sir. He says,
Wherefore remember
in time past?
That ye being in time past
Gentiles in the flesh.
Who are called
uncircumcision.
By that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands.
That at that time.
Ye were without Christ.
Don't miss this now. Before they came, the Bible said they were without Christ. Now remember this now. If you don't have Christ, you can't have life. Those who are in their sins today, those individuals who have not come to Christ, you're in the flesh, you don't belong to God because you've not received that circumcision, and then you're living your life without Christ. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 11. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 11. Watch what the Bible said. 1 John 5 and verse number 11, the Bible says,
and this is the record.
Watch this now. And this is the record.
That God hath given us. Eternal life.
God has given us eternal life. Come on.
And this life is in his son.
Y'all see that, church? This life, the life that the Son of Man needs, God put this life in his son. Come to read, sir.
He that hath the son.
If you got Jesus,
have life.
You got life.
And he that hath not the Son of God.
If you don't have Jesus,
hath not life.
You don't have life. You see how easy that is? That's why you need Jesus today. Because without Jesus, you're in your sins. And if you die in your sins again, Jesus said, where I am, you can't come. And so look at what he said. Let's go back to our text, my brother. He said, listen, in the flesh, you're uncircumcised, you don't have a token, don't belong to God. You're without Christ. And the Bible said, without Christ.
First, I'll
wait for you. Without Christ.
that at that time you were without Christ.
Without Christ, yes.
Being aliens from the commonwealth.
Don't miss this now. You without Christ, aliens
from the commonwealth of Israel.
Don't miss this now. That's what he's talking about. They had no citizenship. They had no citizenship. They were not a part of the citizenship of the people of God. But then he's going to help them understand that was a time, that's where they were. Drop down to verse 19. He said, drop down to verse number 19. No. Because something happened and then things changed. Because no. The verse number 19, he says,
Now therefore, ye are no more strangers.
Watch this now. Something happened. When he said they are no more strangers.
And foreigners.
No more foreigners.
But fellow citizens.
But now they are fellow citizens.
With the saints.
With the saints.
And of the household of God.
You got to get in the Lord's house if you want citizenship.
Yes.
They were outside. Mm-hmm. They were outside the family of God. Mm-hmm. Outside the citizenship of those who belong to Christ. But something happened. They got in the house. When you get in the Lord, you can't get in the house without baptism.
Amen.
And so look at what he says. I'm trying to hurry. They were in the flesh. They were uncircumcised, didn't belong to God, without Christ, had no citizenship. Come on and read, sir.
And are built up on the foundation of the apostles.
And prophets.
And let's prophets.
Let's go back to our text. That they were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the, don't miss this now, they were strangers from the covenant. The covenant of what's that covenant? A promise. God made a promise a long time ago. God told Abraham that through your seed, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. God made a covenant. God did that. That was the promise. That was that same promise. You remember what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 36. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked to their heart and said unto Peter, the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Then he says, and this promise is unto you, to your children, many that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. What promise? What was this promise? God gave Abraham a promise. And I stopped by to tell you, it was the promise of salvation. God had a promise that God will save man. Hold on, Brother Pounds. Hold on. You're moving too fast. Let's talk about this, because that promise was to Abraham. Abraham and to Abraham's seed. Now, we know Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac had a boy named Jacob. Jacob had the 12 boys that became the 12 tribes of Israel. They became the Jews. Brother Pounds, we're not Jews today. How can we be a part of this covenant that God told Abraham, through your seed, all the nations are going to be blessed? If we are Gentiles, how can we be a part of the seed of Abraham, and we're not Jews? I'm so glad y'all asked me that. I don't know what to do. Let's go to the book. In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26, let's see how we can be a part of Abraham's seed. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26, what does the Bible say? For we are all
the children of
the
God,
children of God,
by faith,
by faith in Christ Jesus.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ.
Come on, read,
sir.
There's neither Jew nor Greek.
There's neither bond nor free.
In Christ, there's neither bond nor free.
There's neither male nor female.
In Christ, there's neither male nor female. Come on.
For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if he be in Christ.
Watch this now. And if you belong to Christ,
then ye are Abraham's seed.
Then are you Abraham's seed.
And heirs
according
to the promise.
And you are heir according to the promise. Amen. You want to know how we can be a part of that? You got to get into Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then we can be a part of that covenant of promise.
If you want to be a part of that covenant of promise today, you got to get in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says we got to hurry. We got to hurry. Listen, if without Jesus today, you're in the flesh. Without Jesus today, you don't have the token that you belong to Christ. You have not been circumcised. Circumcised by God in the waters of baptism. You're living your life without Christ, outside of the citizenship, my friend, of God's people, and you are not a part of the covenant of promise. And then the Bible says,
having no hope.
Don't miss this now. No hope. One of the things doctors will tell you as you are battling with whatever you're going through, the doctor will tell you, don't ever give up your hope. Hope, that confident expectation. Hope helps us not to give up. Hope says, it doesn't look good now, but I'm just believing and trusting that things will get better. Our hope as Christians is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I'm going to wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Where is our hope? Who is our hope? Look at the Bible. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Let's look at what the Bible says. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 1.
Peter. An apostle of Jesus Christ.
Apostle of Jesus Christ.
To the strangers scattered throughout Pontus.
Yes.
Galatia.
I'm sorry. 1 Timothy 1:1. I'm sorry, my brother. 1 Timothy 1:1. My mind was on another scripture. 1 Timothy 1:1. Yes.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ.
That's what I want. Come on.
By the commandment of God.
Commandment of God. Yes.
And Lord Jesus Christ.
And the Lord Jesus Christ.
Which is our hope.
The Bible said Jesus is our hope.
Amen.
You want to know the one who is able to bring us through difficult times? Our hope is Jesus. I say thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
He is the greatest thing that ever happened to us. And so I got to hurry. The Bible said, listen, without Christ giving you life, you're in the flesh. Those in the flesh can't please God. Uncircumcision, you do not have the token, my friend, through baptism, you belong to God. Living your life without Christ, you're not a part of the citizenship of the saved. Not a part of the covenant of promise. You have no hope. And then the Bible says you're without God.
And without God in the world.
The Bible says you're without God. Living your life without God. 2 John 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abides in the doctrine hath both the Father and the Son. And that's what we need today. We need God. I said, if ever there's a time we need God, that time is now. We need our Creator. We need God in our life. We need God. We need the presence of God just to make it from one day to the next. We need God. And then don't have time, but he says, no hope without God
in the world.
And then you're in the world. Why did Jesus come? Galatians 1:4. Why did Jesus come? He came to give us life, and he came to rescue us. Watch the Bible. Galatians 1:4.
Who gave himself for our sins.
Jesus gave himself for our sins.
That he might deliver us from this present evil world.
That he might deliver us or save us.
According to the will.
From this present world. You want to know why Jesus came? He came to give us life. To rescue us from this old evil world. And I say this is an evil world. Evil is everywhere. Back home I tell the members every day I turn on the news, somebody has lost their life. We're living in an evil world where sin is running rampant everywhere. And if ever there's a time we need the Lord, that time is right now. They were in bad shape, church. Living their life without life. Every day getting up without God. in the flesh. They were, did not baptize, did not receive the token they belonged to God, living without Christ, no citizenship, not a part of the covenant of promise, living their life with no hope, no God, and living in the world. That's where they were. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm trying to close. Ephesians chapter 2, he says, in regards to chapter 2 and verse number 4, he gets to verse number 4, he says something happened. There was a change happened.
But God.
But don't miss this. He says.
But God.
But God. What changed everything, Brother Pounds?
God.
There was a but God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And I'm saying to somebody today, it doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter where you're planning on going. Don't leave here without God. You need a but God. He says, but that's the difference. That's the difference. In my own life, I was sinking deep in sin.
Yeah.
I was far from the peaceful shore.
Yeah.
Very deeply I was staying within, seeking would rise no more. But God, the master of the sea and sky, heard my despairing cry. From the waters he lifted me, now safe. Now safe am I. And I'm saying to somebody today, you need a but God.
Yes.
Because when you read the Bible, but God makes a difference.
Yes.
He said, but God, who is rich in mercy.
For his great love.
Wherewith he loved us.
Even
that's why you want to know what happened to Reese. You got up this morning. You got up this morning and you were in the flesh because God loved you. You got up this morning, you did not receive that token. You belong to God in baptism, but God still woke you up because God loves you.
Amen.
You're living your life without Christ, no citizenship, outside the covenant of promise, no hope without God, and living in the world, but yet God causes it to rain on the just as well as the unjust because God is a good God.
Amen.
And I'm saying to somebody today, you need a but God. But God changes things. I'm closing. I say, but God changes things. The Bible says in Acts, my brother, Acts chapter 7 and verse number 9. I say, but God changes things. In Acts 7 and verse number 9, watch what the Bible says.
And the patriarchs. Moved with envy.
They moved with envy.
Sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him.
But God. I want you to know I said, but God changes things. I said, but God. Look at the Bible, Romans chapter 5, and look at verse number 7. In Romans 5 and verse number 7, watch what the Bible says.
For scarcely. For a righteous man.
Will a righteous man. Will one die. Go ahead.
Yet peradventure. For a good man.
Some would even dare to die.
But God.
The Bible said, but God.
Amen.
I come by here to tell you, but God changes things. You get in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 16. Romans 6 and verse number 16. Watch what the Bible says.
Know ye not.
Don't you know.
That to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey.
Yes.
His servants ye are.
Servants you are.
To whom ye obey. Whether of sin.
Sin.
Unto death. Or of obedience unto righteousness.
Come on and read.
But God.
But God. I come by here to tell you, but God will change things.
Amen.
Get from me 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 6. Well, let's get 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse number 9 first. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 9.
As it is written.
Eyes have not seen.
Nor ear heard. Neither have entered into the heart of man. The things which God hath prepared
for
them that love him.
God hath prepared for them that love him.
But God.
I come by here to tell you, but God will change things. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6. Now let's get 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6. Watch what the Bible says.
Paul said, I planted.
Apollos watered.
But God.
But God got the increase.
Amen.
I want you to understand today, you need a but God in your... Get from me Acts chapter 13. Let's look at verse number 27. Acts chapter 13, verse number 27. Watch what the Bible says.
For they that dwell at Jerusalem.
Come on and read.
For they that dwell of Jerusalem.
Yes.
And their rulers. Because they knew him not.
Because they didn't know who Jesus was.
Nor yet the voices of the prophets.
Nor did they listen to heed the voice of the prophets. Come on.
which are read every Sabbath day.
Come on and read.
They have fulfilled them in condemning him.
They condemned Jesus.
And though they found no cause of death in him.
And because they found no cause of death in Jesus.
Yet they desired. They
Pilate.
That he should be slain.
That Jesus should be slain.
And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him.
And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him.
They took him down from the tree.
They took Jesus down from the tree.
And laid him in a sepulcher.
Laid him in a sepulcher.
But God
raised him. I come by here to tell you, you need a but God in your life. Bible said, but God made a difference. And God changed things. And I'm saying to you today, the same God, he can change your life. Doesn't matter where you're going. Doesn't matter what you're thinking. God can change your life. You need the Lord. You need the one who can come to give you life. Jesus, the Alpha and Omega, Jesus. He is our bread of life. Jesus, he's our conquering Christ. Jesus, he's the door to the sheepfold. Jesus, E, he's our everlasting life. Jesus, F, he's a friend that stick closer than a brother. G, he's our God and our guest. Jesus is our heavenly highway. He's our Emmanuel. Jesus, J, is our joy that come in the morning. K, he's King of Kings. L, he's Lord of Lords. M, he's our master and mediator. N, there's nobody like him. O, he's omnipotent. P, Prince of Peace. Q, he's quick and powerful. R, he's our righteous redeemer. S, he's our savior. T, he is the truth. U, he's the umbrella of our protection. V, he's our visa, not like the one in our pocket or purse. He won't charge any interest, but he will drop the charges. W, he's our watchman that watches over us while we sleep. X, he's our x-ray. When people dig ditches, he'll lead us safely around. Y, he's our yesterday, today, and forever. And Z, he's our zeal that'll help us to make it from earth to glory. And I'm saying to you today, if you don't have Jesus, you need the one who came to give us life. That's man's greatest need. That's your greatest need. And I'm saying to you today, say yes to Jesus. You're not saying yes to me, but you're saying yes to Jesus. You're not saying yes to Brother Mitchell, you're saying yes to Jesus. You're coming to Jesus just as you are. You can say, Lord, I'm not much, but I'm all I got. Take me and use me to your glory and to your honor. How can I do that today, Brother Pounds? First of all, everything starts off by what you hear. You got to hear the right thing. You would never believe the right thing if you don't hear the right thing. You got to hear. First of all, commandments, Mark 12:29, is to hear. You got to hear. What must I hear? You got to hear. The Bible said, Acts 15:7, when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said, men and brethren, you know how good while ago God made choice that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. You got to hear the gospel. The gospel, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, is the facts that Jesus died. He was buried, rose again the third day. Having heard that, but do you believe that right where you're sitting? Do you believe that Jesus died, was buried, rose again? And then, my friend, right where you're sitting, are you willing to repent of your sin, to make a turn, make a change? Say no to sin, self, and Satan. And I'm going to give the Lord a chance in my life. Acts 17:30, time of this ignorance God winked at, but now command all men everywhere to repent. And then, my friend, we're going to stand in just a moment. You come forward confessing. Confessing what? Confessing what you say you believe, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The same confession the Ethiopian eunuch made when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we're going to baptize you in water for the remission of your sins. And my friend, what's going to happen then? But God is going to come in your life. God's going to change you. You're going to leave from being in the flesh, being uncircumcised spiritually without Christ, no citizenship in God's family, outside the covenant of promise, no hope, living your life without God and in the world, and a change is going to happen, and now you're going to have that life that's in Jesus Christ. The very reason why Jesus came was to give man life. Say yes to Jesus today. I would be afraid to leave here today, my friend, without saying yes to Jesus Christ. People are dying every day And church, it's not the same people dying. You don't hear about somebody dying, they say, oh, Mr. Jones died again. No, it's new people leaving here. New people are leaving here every day. And one of these old days is going to be our time to leave here. And I'm saying when it's time to leave, make sure you leave with life. Get your life today. Get that life today in Jesus Christ. You remember the body of Christ? You're going astray. You come on back home through a process of repentance, confession, and prayer. Well, if you need prayer, come on right now. We're going to stand. We'll sing a song of encouragement. Come on to Jesus. Come on. 311. 311.